We turn to our scriptural reading, and it's found in the book of Psalm 19, and we're reading from verses 1 to verse 3. Psalm 19, verse 1 to verse 3. And it reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard." And we say, all say, amen, amen. Amen. May God add blessing to the readers and the hearers of his word.
Amen. Last week, Mr. Dumas spoke to the congregation, and in his message, he asked the question, do we need good news? As a believer, sometimes what happens is that we're going through our stuff. You all know what stuff I'm talking about? Right? We're living through our stuff, things that we've brought along with us in the past, things that happened to us in the past. Sometimes things that we have no control over, other things we do have control over. Sometimes we make bad decisions, wrong decisions. Sometimes we totally mess up. And we go through our stuff. Do we need good news? I heard one person respond. So I'll ask the question again. Do we need good news?
Yes.
Yeah, we need good news. Just so happens that 2,000 years ago, there was someone who came proclaiming good news. Jesus the Christ. And he said, you know, it's kind of interesting that when he started his ministry, it wasn't exactly what people pictured it would be. Just like when we start off in life, sometimes the way our lives end up isn't exactly how we planned it, correct? We always planned this specific thing here, but for some reason we end up over here, right? And what Jesus did is he came into this synagogue one day, as was his custom, as the scripture says, and it was given to him a book. And actually, it's not a book, it's a scroll. And he unrolled the scroll to a part of the scroll that was from the book of Isaiah. In some cases, is it here? Do we say Isaiah or Isaiah?
Isaiah.
Isaiah, I'm sorry. Isaiah. And I'll read what he read. Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 61, verse 1. It reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to the blind. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Do we have bound people? Do we have blind? Do we have brokenhearted among us? "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of oak." In some, it's not in this translation I'm reading, but in some translations it has oak trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. That's what these individuals would be called, that he might be glorified, that God will be glorified. Whatever it is that we're experiencing at the end, when we do receive the good news, when we do receive the proclamation at that acceptable time, when we do receive the binding upness or the good tidings, it will all be for God's glorification. Amen? Amen. So we ask, what is this good news? You see, typically when we talk about good news, what typically comes back is we talk about the good news of the kingdom of God. But reality is we cannot talk about the good news of the kingdom of God until we talk about quite a few other things. Like, what is a kingdom? And even more important, who is this God? Because if it is that God is the one who's saying, well, hey, I got this. I got your back. If God is the one who's saying that it will be okay, if God is the one who's saying that I see everything, I know everything, I know what you're experiencing, been there, done that, then who is this person that is saying this? We need to know who God is. We also need to know Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. We need to know things about grace. We need to know things about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Why was it necessary to be sacrificed? Right? We need to know things about repentance, faith, baptism. These are the things we need to know. Forgiveness of sin. We cannot talk about the kingdom of God unless those things are part of the discussion. So today my focus is on who this God is. What we're going to do for the rest of the month of October and into this November, we'll be talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? What is this good news that he was bringing? Right? But today what we're going to do is the focus on today's message is going to be on who is God. Now, of course, you can go to seminary and you'd spend entire trimesters and semesters and years delving into the nature of God. But I'm going to do all of this. I'm going to save you a whole bunch of money, a whole bunch of time, and I will just wrap it up in a nice little, how much of a time I have, message. Okay? So let's pray. Lord God, our Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, Father, we come into your presence thanking you for this opportunity to learn who you are, to learn how big you are, great God, to learn of your majesty, to learn of your sovereignness. So God in heaven, we pray that you would open our minds and open our hearts so that we could truly get a better understanding as to who you are. Great God in heaven, we pray that your word would be spoken here today and that you would use me as a conduit, Father. I'm just the instrument, Father. Speak through me, great God in heaven, so that your word will be proclaimed, that your word will be spoken in the hearing, and in the sight of your people, and that whatever messages need to come out, great God, for whatever individual, that you would personalize this message, Father, because we know that it's a personal relationship that we need to have with you. So we thank you for this opportunity, great God, and we praise you for it in the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. So who is God? Now, one of the things that we need to recognize first is that the question usually happens. You all been to kindergarten, right? You know, as kindergarten kids, you know, we sitting there, we hanging out with our friends, and the question comes out about your daddy, right? My daddy is big, right? My daddy is bigger than your daddy. And we get into these competitions. We say, well, okay, my daddy is this tall. Well, back in those days, it would be like this tall, right? And then your friend says, well, my daddy is taller than yours. My daddy is bigger than yours. My daddy. But here today, I'm going to talk about our daddy. Right? How big is your daddy? Whatever you can come up with, you know, we usually end the argument this way. Whatever you say, my daddy is bigger. How could you beat that? Right? Today, we are going to talk about the biggest daddy there is, God. God is bigger. And if you want a title for the sermon, that's it. God is bigger. Why? Because he always existed. What in the world do you mean by he always existed? How do we wrap our minds around that? Right? In the Jewish language, the Hebrew language, we have what's called a tetragrammaton, right? And that's what we call the four-letter word. I know we have a different four-letter word in the United States, right? But here, we are talking about a four-letter word that's spelled Y-H-V-H, right? Now, we don't know the exact pronunciation of that word. Why? Because from way back in the, I believe they said it was in the 5th century B.C., that word was banned. It was seen as a word that was so sacred, so holy, that just to speak that word, one of the names of God, just to speak that, we were not qualified to. We were not up to the spiritual level. We are not worthy of speaking that name. So because of that, no one spoke the word. Y-H-V-H. Now, what had happened is that they had added some vowels into the word, and now we pronounce the word Yahweh, the same word that is pronounced in the English Jehovah. Okay. Okay, it's just been brought to my attention that we have a medical emergency. The ambulance has been called. Let's pray. Okay. Holy Father, Almighty God, great God in heaven, we are thankful to you, great God, for every opportunity that you've given to us to come into your holy presence. And we are here in your presence, great God in heaven. And Father in heaven, we recognize that you are the God of all things, and you already know what's been happening here at this church. Father, we have a medical emergency. The ambulance have been called. Trained professionals are on their way. But we pray, great God in heaven, in the meantime, recognizing that you are already here. This is your house, great God in heaven, and your child is here, and we need your help. We ask, great God in heaven, that you would intervene, that your spirit, Father, would roam here, Father, in and out, and that you will provide what is needed at this time. Father, we don't know all of the details, but you do. We have that blessed assurance, great God in heaven, that you are in charge, that you run things around here, great God, and only you. You are sovereign, you are holy, you, Father, are our healer, you are our provider, you are our protector. And we, even though we are in this message right now, Father, to understand more and more who you are, great God, it is timely, Father, that we come into your presence with prayer for this woman and that you would heal. We know, Father, that eventually your will be done and that your name will be glorified, as we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. And we pray, Father, that you will be glorified. And we ask these things now, great God in heaven, in the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Hopefully before the end of the service, we will be able to have updated information. So back to the message. It comes from the word, it's the English equivalent to what we call now Jehovah, which means it's a self-existing God. A God that doesn't need food to exist, doesn't need water to exist, doesn't need air to breathe, but he exists within himself. Think about that. A self-existing, self-sustaining being who's always existed. Because the question always comes, well, what do you mean always existed? When did he begin? Who was his mom? Who was his dad? Doesn't have a mom, doesn't have a dad. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 3, it says that he was without father, without mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or without end of life. There's no beginning and there's no end to God. God is. He is. There's no God was. He is. He's always God. Always been in existence. You see, one of the weaknesses of the human being is that we live on an earth. The earth spins on its axis and it revolves, it revolves around the sun. It takes 365.25 days to go around the sun. We call it a year. That's how we measure our time, by the setting of the sun and the rising of the sun again. We exist on this planet, and because this planet moves around and spins around, that's the reason we have time. That's how we measure time. But God doesn't live on this planet. He is outside of this planet, and he's not subject to time. Time is, it's a human term, right? God is bigger than time. Always was, always will, and always will exist. In Revelation chapter 1, he says that I am Alpha and the Omega. I transcend time. This is the God who we serve, right? It says that the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. It refers to him as the Almighty. I mean, how much bigger can you get? So God always existed. The second point is that who is God? In the scripture, we read about the Father, we read about the Son, we read about Holy Spirit. Right? Jesus Christ is not the Father. The Son is not the Father. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. The Holy Spirit is not the Son. Three separate entities, all God. Notice I didn't say gods. One God. Three in one. And here's where we get the word triune God. Three in one. It's from the Latin. Okay? So we have three in one. In John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning. Now, of course, from our frame of reference as human beings, we are looking at what beginning are we talking about? Are we talking about the beginning of the world? Are we talking about the beginning of, I don't know, the universe, the beginning of time? Even when they talk about beginning of time, time, remember, is a human issue. The earth revolving around the sun. In the beginning, reality is, I think, I don't know for a fact, but the way that I would interpret beginning here would be if we were to look at time in terms of past and future, it'll be infinity and beyond. That movie just came to mind. What's that movie? Toy Story, yeah. Infinity and beyond in that direction, wherever beginning is, right? But from a human perspective, we use the word beginning because, I mean, we don't really have a word for back then, right? So in the beginning was the Word. And we all know that the Word, it's referring to Jesus Christ, right? The Word was with God, but also the Word was God. Got you so far? So stay with me, right? The Word was with God, and the Word was also God. So we have Jesus the Christ, the Word, Father, Holy Spirit, God, all God. The same was in the beginning with God. Three in one. And what did it say? Genesis 1 verse 1 says that in the beginning, another beginning, in the beginning, God, the three in one, created. So we have a God now who has always existed and will always exist. Three, I think I can say entities, right? All comprising God, each of them being God themselves, right? But three together becoming, I guess, big God. Right? And what did they do in the beginning? Created. It says that in John 1 verse 3, it says that all things were made by him, and that there was nothing that was made that wasn't made by him. Nothing exists that wasn't created by him. Because think about it. Everything. Does that mean that space was also created by him? What does nothing mean? If you're in a state of nothingness, what is that like? I know I'm kind of like wigging people out right now because I'm thinking, even if you have a vacuum, A vacuum is something, right? It's the absence of air. What does nothing look like? I don't know. It's one of those things that, that my mind cannot wrap itself around at this point, right? But it says that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I mean, where do we go from here? I mean, is there any argument? It's like, my father made everything. My father bigger than yours. My dad made everything. Reminds me of the this scientist met God. And he says, you know, we are so advanced in science right now that we could do anything that you can do. And then God says, okay. So God says, okay, I made man out of the dust of the ground. Can you do that? I mean, really, when you look at science now, they're making all different types of parts for the human body, right? So the scientist, took up some dirt, and he began to make man. And God said, make your own dirt. I mean, can you compare? Right. So all things were made by him, and there was nothing that was made that wasn't made by him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what does that mean, created the heavens? Anyone really knows how big the universe is? And not only that, we have what's called multiverse now, where there are multiple universes, you know, hundreds and millions of universes. I mean, that's like mind-boggling. How big is your God? What we're going to do is we're going to take a little look here at a universe, right? And as you look at it, what I want you to do is to remember how big you are. Remember how big your problems are. Okay? Remember how big those issues that you're facing, those enemies that you're facing, remember how big they are as you look at this, okay? During this video presentation, I looked around and I saw the little kids repeating the names of the planets. Y'all learned this in school, right?
Yes. Oh, but
it's what?
29.5
what? 2.5. Oh, I stand corrected. You go, girl. It is estimated. Now, I was looking at this. I saw this about 3 or 4 times before I actually chose this particular video. And I'm looking at it here, and I'm looking and saying, well, this is huge, right? That the distance across the universe is estimated to be 90 billion light years. The distance that it would travel, light will travel, over 90 billion years. Do we serve a great God or what? Is God great or what? And as the scripture that we read prior to the message says that, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God. Right? We just got a glimpse as to his glory. He's created all of that. Right? Genesis 1 verse 1 says, he created the heavens. And it's kind of interesting here that because he created the heavens, everything that you see there and more, but he also said, and the earth. Because the earth is I can't even say minuscule because it's not, that word isn't small enough to describe how small this earth is, right? He created the heavens. And then there was the earth. But then again, you look at the earth. In Genesis 1, it talks about the creation. In some cases, we talk about how he It wasn't a creation of the earth in Genesis. It wasn't even a recreation, really. The earth was there. You cannot recreate something that's already there. How he prepared the earth for man. So let's take a look at that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 1. And we look at verse 3. We are just skipping through it. Verse 3 talks about, let us make light. Let there be light. Just by the speaking of the word, right? There was light. In verse 6, he created the sky. It talks about a firmament. It's kind of interesting what the word firmament actually means, right? In the old English, firmament basically was a bucket with a hole. A firmament. But basically it means the sky. In verse 9, God created the land and the sea and vegetation. In verse 14, he created the sun, moon, and stars to govern the day and night. Now, don't ask me, I don't know. Because if it says here that in verse 14, he created the sun, moon, and stars, created that, then did he create that on the 1, 2, 3, the fourth day of creation? We know that the universe is many million years old, and the earth is a few thousand years old, so I cannot reconcile that. I'll be talking to God about that, asking for the answer. You talk to him. I don't know, right? Verse 20, he created creatures of the sea, the birds and the air, right? 24, he created living creatures on the earth. 27, he created man. Compare the universe to man. How big really are your problems? How big are your issues? When God says that I've created all this, but every hair on some of you's head, every hair on your head, I know, I numbered, I know you by name. I mean, he's busy doing all this thing here, right? But he knows you by name. How big is your God? God is bigger than anything that you can imagine. In the scriptures, in the Hebrew language, we have the word Elohim. Did you all get one of these? Okay, you can consult this now, because at the back of it has a whole list of names for God. And what we need to look at is, when you look at the names of God, right, it just describes his attributes, right? One of them, we look at Elohim, which is creator. He's created all things. The multiverse, he's created angels. And this God is so great that even when he came to earth, not in the form of Jesus Christ, he manifested himself to Moses. Even when he came to earth, he wouldn't allow Moses to look at him. Why? Because we can't handle it. So what he did, he told Moses that when you walk by, just walk by quickly, and you know, on the corner of your eyes, you're going to take a little glimpse. There was another time when Moses was in the presence of God. And just by being in the presence of God, you know, when you're in the presence of God, you pick up things from him. You know that? You're in the presence of God. You know, they say that you are who you hang around, right? So you hang around peers, you become like them, or they become like you. But there's some type of rubbing off going on. God is great. So when you start to hang out with God, you become more like God, right? And somebody might look at you and hopefully look at you and think of Moses and say, well, ooh, where you get that glow from? I was with my daddy. Glow, people. Moses came away from God with a glow on him. Why? Because he was hanging out with his dad. He was chilling it. He was kicking back. And, well, yeah, he was getting the Ten Commandments. He probably getting a little chewing out. But the fact is, he was in the presence of God. And in the presence of God is where we get our glow, right? We cannot glow apart from the presence of God, right? There's no way we can glow without the presence of God, because what happens is that by nature, we are darkness, right? But then when light comes into the world, what happens? Darkness got to go, right? There's no darkness that can follow light. There's no darkness that can be present when light is present. When light, God, is present, darkness flees. So you're in the presence of God, them issues you got, it got to go. You're in the presence of God, the issues you got, it fails, it goes down into insignificance. Why? Because God got your back.
Amen.
Actually, you don't have your back. He got your back, he got your front, he got your side too, right? Your problems, he got them problems too. It ain't about you, it's all about God, right?
Amen.
Presence of God, people, is something awesome, right? Now, for some of you all who've been to the mountaintop, I love Martin Luther King, right? He talked about being to the mountaintop. For some of you all have had that mountaintop experience, right? It is something to behold, right? I pray that you all have that mountaintop experience, that mountaintop experience that Moses had when you're in the presence of God, right? Creator, Elohim, when you can experience God as he is. You see, Moses also wanted to know, well, who do I say sent me? You know, because if you're working for someone and you walk into the presence of important people, you want to be able to throw a few names around. So Moses said, whose name can I throw around, God? And what did God say? I am that I am. Now, in the Hebrew, this name doesn't appear there, right? It actually, it says, I had some problems pronouncing this, so bear with me. Eyer Sherier. And what that means is, I am who I am. It could also be translated, I am whoever I want to be. Whoa! So, what do you need God to be? Do you need God to be your mortgage payer? Okay. Hey, I'll be that. Not I, sorry. God will be that, right? Do you need God to be your healer? God be that, right? Do you need God to be your provider, right? Do you need God to be the person to give you 3 jobs? Yeah. That's the I am, right? I am who I will become. I become whoever I jolly well please, right? That's the way I roll, okay? That's the way I roll. Whoever I want to be. Why? Because, sorry, not I. Well, whoever he wants to be, right? He is sovereign. He makes the final decision. The last decision is always his, right? So we're going to get a little bit into what time we have left. El means strong one. It also means God, right? Elohim, creator. Elyon, God Most High. Jehovah is the self-existing one that I mentioned. We've heard of El Shaddai, and there's that wonderful song. I love to hear it. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon. You all know the song, right?
Right.
It means all sufficient. All sufficient. Olam. El Olam, the everlasting God. I mean, this God is going to last past all of those gods of rock and gods of clay and gods of wood, right? And gods of paper money, okay? This God is going to outlast all those gods, right? El Shabbat, the Lord of hosts, right? He is the God who sees. He is my Master. And you know what's nice and what's really cool? You know, sometimes y'all females, y'all do this, don't lie. Okay. You all go out and you get your boyfriend, right? Yeah, I'm going there. Y'all get your boyfriend and you feel good. I mean, anybody loves to be loved, right? You get your boyfriend, but you know, every now and again, you go and you do a little flirt on the side, you know, just to make him jealous, right? Why? Because you want to know for a fact that this person really loves you. Because if they didn't get jealous, then they ain't going to love you, right? So you all know what you do, right? So what happens now is that God loves us so much that he becomes jealous. You know, God is jealous. That's cool. Why? Because that shows that God loves me, right? Now, he doesn't love me because of anything I did, but he loves me just because, right? He loves me just because that's who he is. Right? He is the healer, right? He is the banner. The God who sanctifies me. All these are attributes of God. All of these are names for God. We have Jehovah Roi. That means my shepherd. Remember the 23rd Psalm? Yeah. My shepherd. He is the one who cares for me. God is near. And then we have some of the more well-known words for God. Jehovah Jireh. My provider, right? Everything that I need, he provides for me. You hungry? Jehovah Jireh, right? You need a healing right about now? Jehovah Jireh, right? What do you need? You need some water. You need something to keep you warm. You need a coat because it's going to be winter pretty soon. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nissi. The God of victory. Do you need victory in your life right now? Do you need victory over some type of sin? Do you need victory over some type of issue that you're going through? Jehovah Jireh. Sorry, Jehovah Nissi. That's the one you need. And then we have Jehovah Shalom. Peace. Give me a show of hands. How many people need some peace right about now? All right? This is the Jehovah you pray to. Jehovah Shalom. The God of peace. The song goes, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace, and I worship you. Because of who you are. And it's something like that, right? Go ahead.
For me?
My wife is up here with her mic, so I'm assuming she's going to sing it. You all met my wife, right? Come on.
I worship you because you're holy, holy.
I worship you because you're mighty, mighty. I worship you because of who you are.
Sing with me.
I worship you because you're holy, holy. I worship you because you're mighty, mighty. I worship you because of who you are.
One more time, Don.
I worship you because you're holy, holy. I worship you because you're mighty, mighty. I worship you because of who you are.
I worship you because of who you are.
If you know this song, sing it.
Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Let's take it from the beginning of the song, because of who you are.
We've been talking about how big God is. So please, if you know, sing along, because he's a big, awesome God. And read your words as well.
If you feel like standing, stand. Okay?
Thank you.
because of who you are, I give you glory.
Oh, yes.
Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are.
Again, because of who you are.
Because of who you are, I give you glory.
Oh, yes.
Because of who you are, I give you praise.
All of my praise.
Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Lord, worship you because of who you are.
Sing to your God, Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh.
Oh, yeah.
My provider. Jehovah Nissi. Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace, and I worship you because of who you are.
Because of
who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh,
oh yes,
my provider. Jehovah Nissi,
my God.
Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace.
And I worship you
because of who.
And I worship you
because of who.
And I worship you
because of who you are.
Lord, I
worship you because of who you are.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our God is big. Yes, he's a big God. Big and awesome God.
Praise, praise God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And everyone in this room, I know you got a praise. You got a hallelujah. You got something that God showed up when you thought nothing was going to happen. Nothing was going to change. No one was going to be there for you. Just like Mr. Murphy talked about, the car stopping. Stopping. Who's heard of that? Come on. Yes. Who's heard of that? The car got gas and the car's supposed to go. And there's so many stories here. And we went around the room, here in this room, of how God has showed up for each and every one of us. Amen? Because our God is big. He's bigger than any problem. He's bigger than any situation. Because we don't have any problem or situation that resurrection power is, is greater than resurrection power, do we? That's right. So let us, we'll pray. My husband has sat down, so I guess he's telling me to pray. Lord God Almighty, mighty, awesome, righteous God, the God who knows each of us by name and by every hair that is or was on our head. Lord God, you know our situation. And as we watched the movie, we saw your creation, Lord God. And it says that the nature declares your glory. And we're here, and you created us to declare your glory as well. So, Father God, for everyone here and those who are here with us today, Lord, help us in all the ways we need it to be that salt and that light, to declare your glory, to declare how big you are, to declare that you are the great I am, you are the healer, you're our sustainer, you're our provider. All those different words and adjectives. Lord, you said you are whatever we need you to be. And you know what that is, even when we don't. That's why Jesus is there praying for us, interceding for us when we don't even know what to intercede for. Our God is that big that he's thought of all the small things, all the things that we need, things that we don't even know yet. He sees around the corner when we can only see straight. He sees in the darkness because he is the light. Lord, there's so many things you do for us that we just take for granted. We don't even realize. You allow us to get up in the morning and we still have breath. That's only because of you. You allow us to be in our right mind. That's only because of you. You allow us to be able to see and walk and hear and touch and sing and jump and shout. That's only because of you. Because, Lord, with the word, you create. With the word, you get things done. Word, you change situations and things. And regardless to what our situation and thing may be, Lord, you say you never leave us or forsake us. And you are that big, big, big God that's bigger than anything that we may think can overcome us. So, Lord, be with us as we leave this place. Walk with us. Remind us with your word. Remind us in song, wherever it is, Lord God. Remind us of who you are and whose we are. In your son, Jesus' name, amen.